Okay.
So did you write that book, Smart Tribes?
I did.
All right. Well, can't wait to hear about it.
We're going to have a fun little drawing.
Yeah. Actually, I've heard. When did you write the book?
It came out, I want to say, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually did hear about it. So it's really good. Huh?
Is this your first time here?
Yes.
A CFO forum?
No, I came one time last year. Were you here last year?
I was talking about neuroscience of influence.
Metaprograms. So are you, where do you live? Where are you?
Mill Valley,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
How about you?
I live in the Bay Area, too, on the Moon Creek.
Where do you live? Down the peninsula?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to start in like 1 minute.
Right.
So let me just round up. I'm going to blast off. Okay, good. Yeah, for the stragglers. Yeah. We're going to start in a sec.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Come on down. Let's learn about your awesome brain. Okay, we don't even have quite an hour yet together. So we're gonna pack it in. What's gonna be happening in your brain as we work together is we'll be forging a new neural pathway. So if you feel like, why is Christine pushing me so hard? Here's what will be happening inside your gorgeous brain. Neurons, two different neural pathways. How many of you have walked through a river, across a river where there's current and you're kind of like, ugh? No? A few of you? Okay. Everybody has probably walked through a swimming pool where you're pushing. Okay. So whichever metaphor works better for you. So when you are first connecting two neural pathways, when you're learning something new, okay, there's some struggle. There's some, it's almost like dropping a rock, if you will, a large rock, each time you push across that river from one side to the next. Over time, as you keep dropping rocks or struggling. Struggle or ecstasy, friends, is how you forge new neural pathways. Today we're going to pretty much deal with struggle. Ecstasy will follow, okay, after the struggle. And what's cool is that as you, push to learn those new things, because I will be pushing you today, something very amazing happens. Your gorgeous brain alerts oligodendrocytes and astrocytes and says, hey, something important is happening here. Let's coat this neural pathway, and it's coated with white matter. So white matter, myelin, is coating this new gray matter circuit. And over time, as you learn and use the tools from today, you will forge this new circuitry. The more myelination that occurs, the more this baby goes from dial-up to broadband. How we create a new behavior is we do that deep practice, we do the struggle, we push through the water, we forge that new pathway. And then that new pathway, as we keep using it, becomes our default pathway. Okay? So the struggle from today is good because we're forging a brand new pathway. And as you use these tools, this will then become your default, and the other tools that you've used that haven't worked as well or don't work as well anymore will fall away. Because myelin is living and breathing tissue, and after 30 days it breaks down. So whenever we do executive coaching, if we want to change a behavior, we forge a new behavior that has more myelination, and it takes over as broadband, and the other behaviors, frustration, low accountability, low influence, whatever, drop away. Okay, I'm not going to geek out any further than that. All right. Good. So I'm Christine Comeford. Very happy that you're here today. What's going to happen is this is going to be super interactive. We're going to do labs and stuff. If you have questions, ask them. Don't feel like you have to hold your question or anything. Okay? What we want to do today is learn just two neuro tools so we can be experienced as more strategic, feel more strategic, get a seat or a more powerful seat at the strategic table, and give the CEO and the C-suite and anybody else the experience of same as. Okay, same as means subconsciously they say, wow, he, she is the same as me. I can loop arms with them and walk forward. They're part of my tribe. Okay, so I've been working with Fortune 1000 companies for a really, really long time. What we do is we use neuroscience to help people get what they want, forge deeper connections, get much, much better performance. Give us any human being, we'll help them be 35 to 50% more effective in 6 months or less. So, and I was an engineer a long time ago at Microsoft and Apple back in the 80s, so it's been a while. What we're gonna use are the latest neuroscience techniques combined with the most effective human potential techniques. We've used these at 1,000 companies, super diverse. So let's go in and let's do it. So the two big things is our job as finance executives often is to kind of look at what's not working and help us tweak it. Would you agree? Are you often looking at kind of risk mitigation, preventing disaster? Okay. But yet, do you find that the CEO has that view too? Or is the CEO more looking at the glorious future, what they can create, possible outcomes, vision-y forward stuff? What's your experience? Yes. So this is what I find, is often we have the finance people holding down the fort, preventing disaster, you know, mitigating risk, solving problems, and the CEO or the C-suite sometimes is more focused on all the cool outcomes, and they think that we're kind of bumming their high, you know? And we're trying to go, meanwhile, back on Earth, we can make that happen, but please let's bing, bing, bing so that the whole ship doesn't, you know, blow up. So we're going to talk today about how you can be who you are, but speak a little bit differently, frame things up a little bit differently to get better results. And I'm going to talk very briefly first about growth and what's happening with growth. When a company is going through growth, and this is just a snapshot, some of you probably are in the multiple billions, but this is just a snapshot. When a company is going through growth, they are hitting different revenue inflection points. At each revenue inflection point, you have a different company. If you do what's required to navigate to and through that revenue inflection point, you will continue to go up. If you build your smart tribe, you'll go up. Otherwise, you'll either hover or you'll crash down. So what do we need to do? Oh, if you want my deck, put your business card out or a scrap of paper with your email address clearly written, and we'll send it to you. I want you to have this chart to look at later. This is something to ponder, because we find with the 30 years we've been doing this, navigating to and through revenue inflection points is incredibly formulaic, as long as you do the three different levels. The people stuff, the money stuff, the model stuff. If you can't do all of them, do the people stuff, because they'll make the money and the model work. Right? So we want to make sure that we're using enough of the people structure that we list right here, and we've got resources behind these. Okay, so holler for whatever you need, because I'm here to be of service. When we do these things, everything works. But I'm not going to dwell here, because this isn't a seminar about growth. So leave us your contact info, we'll send you the deck. I need to talk about your brain for just a sec, because all the tools we're going to use are going to be based on how your brain works. We have three brains, if you will, or three key areas of our brain. The reptilian brain is a stimulus response machine coded for safety. All the reptilian brain cares about is keeping you not dead. Yeah, it's not very sophisticated. It's about not dead, it's not about alive, okay? The reptilian brain controls temperature regulation, breathing, balance. If the reptilian brain could speak, it would say dead or not. Layered on top, mammalian brain. The mammalian brain is where we have our emotional center. The mammalian brain is where we have our limbic system. Fight, flight, freeze. Happiness, anger, love, joy, peace. Also short-term memory. If the mammalian brain could speak, it would say friend or foe. A little more sophisticated than dead or not, but still a stimulus response machine coded for survival. Okay? Layered on top, neocortex. Neocortex, prefrontal cortex, right behind your forehead. The best part about being human. Most animals don't even have a neocortex. The prefrontal cortex is where we look at where we are, where we want to be, and we start to forge a plan to get there. The prefrontal cortex is where we have language skills, tool making. The prefrontal cortex is where we have vision, creativity, innovation. Now, what happens when we're going through rapid growth? we get stuck in what we call critter state. We call it critter state just to make light of being stuck mentally, which is not totally fun. We call it critter because you're like an animal, safe or not, dead or not. You know, you're not in the best part about being human. You're just trying to keep it together. So when we are in critter state, we see poor performance, we see disconnection, we see silos, we see sabotage, all that stuff that doesn't work out so great at work. What we want is to get people into their smart state. We have all three parts of our brain firing. They're all working together. If we get a flame email, we can say, oh, poor George, he's having a hard day. We don't get like, ah, battle, you know? And if a truck zooms up, you know, and almost hits us, we jump out of the way. Thank you, reptilian brain, you know? So we're keeping alive, but we're also innovating. If the neocortex could speak, it would say, what can I create? Much more interesting than dead or not, friend or foe. So what does this all mean? We want to learn these tools so we get better performance, okay? We get much greater human performance when we're in the smart state. The more people you have in the smart state, the more you have a smart tribe. Let's do some tools here. When we are shifting from a CFO, COO mindset, if you will, like Karen did, to a CEO mindset, we have to understand human stuff. What we're going to talk about today is emotional intelligence and actually how you cause that in yourself and how you give the experience of safety in somebody else. If we give somebody safety, belonging, and mattering, they will go forward with us. If we don't give them those three things that humans crave, they will not be aligned with us. Okay? So take a moment, grab your worksheet, list three things to get more in your smart state at work, to build more of a smart tribe. Please list three things that you would like to change at your company and then in your relationship with the CEO. To spend more time in what can we create as opposed to dead or not, friend or foe, shut down and just trying to stay alive. Please list three things that need to change in the company overall and then directly in your relationship with the CEO. Just take a moment. Three things that need to change, or that you would like to change. As we're pondering, I'm going to grab your cards because we're going to do a drawing for a copy of Smart Tribes. Thank you. Three things that you would like to change in your experience with the CEO and in the company overall. Three things. What would really move the needle? What would really make a difference? What would make a difference? What would move the needle? And then we're going to take a couple of shares. So just take another minute or two. And we'll take a couple of shares. Is one of these yours? No, okay. Thank you. Just take another minute or two. Thanks. All right. Let's take some shares. Who wants to share first? Oh, and I should say, we're in the cone of silence. We're in the cone of silence, all right? Whatever happens in this room stays in this room, okay? And you don't have to say what company you're from when you share, okay? All right, who wants to share? Three things. Three things, and you can pick one. You can pick one or two, but we want to make sure that we cover a couple things that you want to change in the company and you want to change with your relationship with the CEO. Go.
Okay. Remove silos, more of an innovation mindset, and a long-term focus.
Silos. Remove silos, innovation mindset, long-term focus. Thank you. How about you? Great. Value emotional engagement. Oh! Did you guys read my blog, my Forbes blog, on the truth about emotional engagement? No. Do you guys want that? Should I send that to you when I send you the deck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's make a Christine to-do list. Yeah, it's really shocking, some of the new research. It's like, whoa, okay? It's gonna surprise you. Did you have one or two more? How about your relationship with the CEO?
Just spending more time understanding.
Spending more time understanding?
His point of view.
Great. Okay. Good. So CC to do. So I owe you guys the slides. And then I also owe you the Forbes engagement blog. Okay, cool. You don't need to see myelination anymore, but you can see the silos. Good, let's take one more share. Yes, Chris Landis. How about you and the CEO only?
Yeah, CEO, I think just kind of a stronger trust connection would be.
Trust. Anybody else want trust? Okay. I'm just going to put just a few down here because I want to keep touching on these. Good. All right, now let's get into the real work. How does this all begin? How does this all begin? Cartman did some really great research back in the 1980s about how human relationships get broken, but he didn't tell us how to fix them. So I thought, dang it, let's figure this out. So what we've been doing is we've been using his research since the 80s, and we've actually figured out how to change it. We all default to victim, rescuer, or persecutor. The victim isn't a bad person. They're just trying to get something done, you know, and they're kind of whining and complaining because it's not working, and they're trying to control from whining and complaining. And then the rescuer is trying to make it all better, and they're sometimes maybe trying to make it better for people who don't want their help, and maybe there's a little bit of resentment then because they tried so hard and nobody appreciated them. And then the persecutor will keep beating down on people to try to change things. So he or she is trying to control, and the beatings are going to continue until morale improves. Okay? So we've got this dynamic that's totally unhealthy. Everyone's trying to control in their own way, and it's not working. Okay? Think about your relationship with your CEO. What role does he or she play most often? Victim? How often do you see victim behavior in your CEO? Victim? Rescuer? Some rescuing, yeah? Persecutor, things will continue till morale improves. Okay, so let's look at where we want to go. Here's what happens if we don't use the next tool to change it. You become more strategic when you start to change the dynamic in the company. So a problem occurs, people get anxious, and then they react. They don't respond, they have a hair trigger reaction that sends them in to the most comfortable default, victim, rescuer, persecutor, okay? When we shift the dynamic and we get people to stop looking at all the stuff they don't want and start looking at what they want to create, we then start out by saying, what would we like here? Instead of what sucks and is painful, what would we like here? Oh, yeah, cool, that's awesome. Let's get one step closer. We then shift from the victim has some good information. Let's help them actually articulate what the heck it is that they want. The rescuer is doing some good stuff before they burn out and get resentful and martyring. Let's put them in the business of causing insights for others. The persecutor is just trying to get some stuff to happen and is getting really impatient. Let's help him or her get into creating action. Take a moment. Tell me what your culture or your relationship with your CEO is most like. Is it about what's wrong, why is this happening, why are they doing blank or not doing blank? How many have problem-oriented cultures, problem-oriented relationships? And then how about outcome-oriented? What do we want? How will we create? What's the next step? How many of us are an outcome, okay? How many of us are an outcome up, down, across the org chart? Doesn't always work that way, okay? So that's the, let me just stress that. That's the main source of tension, as I mentioned before, often between the CFO and CEO. Let's talk about how we're gonna change this. This tool is one of my favorite tools ever. Of the 17 neuro tools we use, I love this one. Be not fooled by how elegant it is. The outcome frame actually takes the brain from amygdala hijack critter state and pulls it into prefrontal cortex smart state. Check this out. The first question, you're gonna do this in a sec. What would you like? What would you like from the huge buffet of possibilities? We ask somebody, what would you like? And it's gotta be a positive thing that we can maintain. It's gotta be a positive outcome you can create and maintain. What would you like? World peace. Too big. You can't create and maintain that. Peace within myself? Ah, okay. That's a smaller package. So we're gonna ask ourselves when we get into critter state, we're gonna ask the people around us, hey, what would you like? Be curious. Don't ever be snarky. What would you like? Sheesh. No. Hey, what would you like? Ah, what will having that do for you? What will having that do for you? What benefits or positive thing will you get? How will you feel? When, where, with whom would you like that? Is it with everybody or just you and a certain person? How soon would you like it? Is it everywhere or just at work? How will you know when you have it? Tell me what's the difference between would and will. What would you like? What will having that do for you? What do you think? What does it feel like is the difference between would and will?
More action. You're closer when you use will.
You're closer when you use will. Will puts it in time. What would you like? Here's the buffet. And the brain's going, huh. The first question's awesome because it opens the frontal lobes. The frontal lobes are now receptive. What would I like? Wow, there's a big buffet there, okay? I want the salmon, okay, on the buffet, all right? Good, what will having that do for you? As we go through these wills, we're pulling them, okay? We're pulling them, we're making them put it in time. We're pulling them into greater clarity. Let me give you a quick example. What would you like? More strategic time. Anybody else want more strategic time? It's usually popular. What would you like? More strategic time. What will having that do for you? Oh, I'll feel more excited. I'll feel like I'm really making a difference. I'll feel like I'm really contributing. I'll feel more energized. I feel less discouraged. You know, I'll be happier. Where, when, with whom do you want this? Well, actually, I want more strategic time at work only. And I want to create it with two of my direct reports so that I give them more stuff to do so I can just be strategic. And I want it within the next 30 days, okay? How will you know when you have it? When I have 3 hours every Friday morning to work on strategy, when I take a weekend every quarter to work on strategy, etc. Take a moment and answer these questions. Take a moment and answer these questions. And let's put it in the box of, in the context of improving your relationship with the CEO. Improving your relationship with the CEO. What would you like? What would you like to create there? Something you can create and maintain. What would you like? We're gonna spend some time on this one because this one's super important. What will having that do for you? How will you feel? When, where, with whom do you want it? How will you know? What proof is gonna show up? How will you know that you got it? Really bring it down to earth, you're much more likely to get it. Remember, the outcome has to be something you can create and maintain. What would you like? To lead my team to greater levels of accountability, to create accountability structures so we have greater visibility in our performance, to create a dashboard so the CEO can have a snapshot of the company's performance and where to tweak it. What would you like? And if you're not sure what you would like, think of three things you absolutely don't want any longer and pick one of those and create the positive alternative. What would you not like? Oh, I don't want so much stress. Ah, okay, what's the opposite of that? Ah, I want more free time. Ah, I want more energy. I want more peace. I want more trust. I want to create more trust with others. I want to be perceived as more strategic. What would you like? What will you get? What will having that do for you? When, where, with whom would you like it? Get a little myelination going on this one. Feel free to struggle and really push into it. Question number two, ask yourself a few times. What will having that do for you? Oh, I'll feel happier. And what will having that do for you? Ah, I'll have a better relationship with my family because they won't be so crabby. And what will having that do for you? Wow, I'll just be happier with myself. Question number two and number four, ask a few times. We have to understand tangible, measurable, specific proof. And if you're done, yes, you can go on to question five, which is my favorite. What of value might you risk or lose to get it? Once you've got one through four done, let's find out if it's okay for you to have it. What's the cost? What of value might you risk or lose to get it? There's always a risk. If there wasn't, you'd have it already. What a value might you risk or lose by having more strategic time? Oh, shoot. I might not feel as important. Oh, I'm not going to be able to dive in and rescue anymore. I might not feel quite as in the mix of things. I might have to give up some control. The more brutally honest we can be with ourselves on question five, the more likely we'll be able to get what we want. We won't let our ego sabotage us. What would you like? All right. Take a couple more minutes, and then we'll take some shares, and we'll do a drawing for a book to celebrate. Yes. What a value might you risk or lose, or what side effects might occur? Let's do your outcome frame, and then we can make sure that we get this right. What would you like?
Clients are happy to get everything that they expect.
Ah, you'd like to, tell me if this is accurate. You'd like to
raise the bar on
the client experience to get them what they would like. Thank you. Okay, and you have the ability to create that and lead that? Awesome. What will having that do for you?
Well, no, I'm not so sure if I have that ability.
Ah.
That's pretty powerful.
Okay. Okay. So we might want to edit that. So what would you like?
Because it has to do with lots of other people. I can't control other people.
Yes. Could you, though, create the structure and the set of expectations and the process for raising the bar in client service?
No.
Could you raise the bar in client service with your own direct clients?
With
your direct clients that you control the relationship with?
With my activities.
With your activities. Great. So remember, question, thank you so much.
But other people have activities that come into play as well.
True. Do those people report to you?
Yes and no.
Okay. For the yes part, could we create a program to raise the bar for client service? Could we then share it with others? Could we then create some fun activities, contests, cool things like that to get people excited and engaged and enrolled and understanding why it's good for them to raise the bar in customer service?
In theory, the answer is yes.
Okay, we're gonna go with that in theory. Okay, what will having that do for you? When you are raising the bar on your experience of client service with people that you can create and maintain, what will having that do for you?
I'll be in bliss.
You'll be in bliss. Okay, well, there's not too much further to go from there, so.
Exactly.
When, where, with whom would you like it? When, where, with whom would you like to raise this bar on client service?
There's like a few people in particular, but I'm not going to name them. But
that's okay. There's a few people, though, that would really make a difference. Cool, that's your scope. When would you like it?
Now?
I'm assuming this is just at work.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's why we're here.
Good. Yay. Okay. Now, how will you know when you have this improved client experience? What proof is going to show up when you have it?
Raving clients.
Raving clients. Happy people. Letters. Testimonials. High cloud score. Whatever. Referrals. Good, good, good. So to get this, question number one, to get this great outcome of improved client service, you know, happier clients, etc., what a value might you, might, what have, underline that, we don't, you don't want to scare people away when you use this, what a value might you risk or lose? Might you have to invest the time, maybe nights and weekends, I don't know, to create this new client service program? Might you have to go out of your comfort zone to engage and enroll people?
I thought it was what value.
Oh,
what
thank
of
you.
Value. Okay.
You know what? Good, good. Underline of and underline might. Okay, yes, thank you. Good, good, good. Yeah, so what that you value might you risk or lose? There's usually an ego risk thing here that's happening here for sure. You know? There's usually a time thing. There's usually a money thing. Okay?
No, it's not those. It's
what is it?
It's a sense of sort of status quo. That other people are, that like, actually.
You might be upsetting the apple cart, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, and shifting the status quo or having to have an adventure with the status quo. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
People like to be complacent.
People like what's familiar, even if it's not good for them. Yeah. That's called the reptilian brain. I will keep doing what's kept me alive, even if it causes me pain. Okay? That's just pure reptilian brain. When you've got that going, you know that you have a culture where people don't feel safe. Okay? Thank you. All right? Was that helpful? Let's take one more. Oh, question. Yeah.
Yeah, can you, is there a possibility to feel that you've lost personal control? And
is it a possibility to feel that you've lost personal control and?
Push the control down the organization. Because for me, what a value is, I would say at the moment, because of the size, it's controllable, but when it's bigger, I have to let go of the control. Is that a value? What, something of value?
Yeah. Yeah. The feel, just a second. The feeling of letting go of control. We call this tension to empowerment because this is what empowerment really is. I can't stand the word empowerment because it's usually total BS. Oh, let's empower people, you know? And then if they mess up, we're going to micromanage them, you know? Or we'll give, you're empowered, make decisions. Oh, you know, not that decision. Let me just take that one away off your plate. Well, do I have power or not? Okay. There, you have no choice. You have to cultivate the people below you and the people side to side because you alone can only do so much. We use the outcome frame to do one of two things the brain must experience regularly at work. Please write this down. At work, the brain must have insights, not your insights. Not, oh, here are my insights. Please feel emotionally engaged. Okay, no. The outcome frame helps people create their own insights. That's why I want you to use it at home. Use it with an upset spouse. Use it with a kid. Test it there first if you want to. Then use it with peers. Use it with direct reports. And then after you've used it a few times, use it with the CEO. And the CEO will start to go, wow, whenever I talk with you, I have these deep insights. You're becoming more strategic. You're becoming perceived as more strategic because you're helping him get into his prefrontal cortex or her get in their prefrontal cortex and see the world a different way. Please use the outcome frame. Love this thing. Oh, I'm recording this because whenever I speak at CFO Forum, people always say, you have to record that. That way I can listen to it again. So you'll get it. Other questions on the outcome frame? Yes?
Christina, I know you mentioned a couple of times ego. That was the first thing that I wrote down. I just wanted to
go in. Ego.
Yeah, especially point number five, for sure, for the ones that I've chosen. What I wrote is more personal value that I would risk is the ego and open to learning and meeting new people, because sometimes you just go with the clicks or the type of people that you like to meet or that mirror who you are. That's who you get attracted to, or just have those building those connections. Just be open to more. So it's breaking those walls is what.
I don't see your fashion statement. What's your first name?
Priya.
Priya. Thank you, Priya. You rock. Okay. Thank you for the control question. Thank you for the outcome frame. Okay. Let's talk about your edge for a second, and then we're going to talk about how to push through it, because this is where you're going to shine. We all have an edge. Priya was just saying, you know, hang out with the people who are more similar to me. Try to enroll and engage the people that are just like me. Yeah, your brain is looking for a same-as experience. I want you guys to use this tool to start to create in people not like you a same-as experience. Wow, Priya causes me to have insights. John causes me to have insights. They might never say that out loud, but you will see their physiology change when you use the outcome frame. You will see their eyes get bigger, you will see more color in their skin, and you will see them breathing more deeply. And you will know then you're having a same as experience with them. I want you to constantly look at where your edge is and push through it, because you're myelinating when you're stretching. But it's easier to stretch when you have a tool. So that's coming up in a sec. Any other questions on the outcome frame? Please start using it. Oh, write this down. If you want me to do it on you, we have a video. Just go to smarttribesinstitute.com/vision. smarttribesinstitute.com/vision. I will do a full outcome frame on you. It's like an 8-minute video. People love it, because sometimes, like, if you're really triggered and you're like, ah, you know, and you're totally in your critter state, just get into your office, close the door, go to that video, and I'll talk you off the ledge, okay? Good. Here's why, it's toasty in here. Here's why, probably because I'm jumping around so much. Here's why change programs so often fail. Change programs fail because we quit too soon. Please don't chicken out, okay? Here's what's really awesome about humans and change. Oh, we didn't have our celebration yet. Okay. You're going to pick one. I really need to start wearing glasses. I'm totally in denial about my vision. Jacob Shulman. Jacob Shulman. Woo! Let's clap. Enjoy, Jacob. I want to be in the next one. Okay, good. So let's talk about why we give up on change too soon. Here's what happens in an organization. When an organization is going through change, people resist. Oh, this is so stupid. Back to our status quo comment as well. This is stupid. I don't like this, etc. Good. If they have apathy, if they're apathetic, then we're hosed. Okay, like you have to poke them with a stick to make them angry, so then at least there's some energy, okay? All you need to do when they're resisting is get them to mock. And this is where people chicken out. This program is so stupid. Ah, what's so stupid about it? If it were less stupid, would you try it? Well, yeah, but it's so lame. Okay, how exactly is it lame? Well, it's lame in these five ways. Well, I can't affect those other two ways, but these two I could. Would you try it if it were less lame? Ugh, okay. So you cycle through mockery and usefulness, and before you know it, since you've reduced the lameness to whatever degree you can, it becomes habitual. They've been doing it and helping you edit it and make it less lame that they actually bought the program. You get to bask in the afterglow until the next change. Once we know that this is happening, we then don't have to get freaked out about it. This is where an organization is going to go. Just go, yay, we're at mockery. We're one step closer. Okay? If you can get the people who are the greatest naysayers on board, it'll be easier. Here's how you're going to do that. I don't think I'm going to have time to talk about Michael Trupeck. I met him a couple years ago. But anyway, super strategic now. Just left Microsoft onto a CFO job at a huge organization. Super exciting. When you are trying to get people engaged and enrolled, you will use the outcome frame. You will help them create insights, but below it, you have to know what they're craving. All human beings, once we have food, water, shelter, warmth, and Wi-Fi, once we have all those, then we crave safety, belonging, and mattering. Let me talk about this for a second. You guys might remember Maslow. He was right. We should talk about it. It's important. Safety. We need to have safety in the workplace so that we can have ideas, so we can be emotionally expressed, so we can be intellectually expressed, so we can be physically safe, okay? security, stability, freedom from fear. If in your culture you don't have safety, that's square one. But you probably don't have safety because people probably don't think they belong together. There's that tribe, and then there's that tribe, then there's finance, then there's sales, and they don't like each other, and then there's the manufacturing, and then there's marketing. Do people in your company, or do you give the experience of people being connected to you? Do they have equal value to you? Do you talk down to them? Or are you all in this together? Write that down. Harvard finally proved that the word together is one of the most powerful words in the human language. Why? Why is together one of the most powerful words in the human language? Chris, what do you think?
Creates common purpose.
Creates common purpose. Great. Yes. What else? Who else? Who else? I like your glasses, but I can't see your name tag. What do you think together is such a powerful word, Robin?
Because you're probably stronger when you have more.
Stronger when you have more. When you look at the most effective form of punishment for human beings for centuries, what is it?
Isolation.
Isolation, excommunication. You're not safe, you don't belong, and you don't matter. Okay, flip side. Why is social media why is social media so powerful? Please tell me. What key of the three human needs are we getting from social media?
Engagement.
Safety, belonging, mattering. Which ones?
Belonging.
Belonging?
Mattering.
Mattering. Yeah. I knew that there were ferret lovers out there. Now I'm seen and I can share my ferret photos and be with my people. Yeah, good. Okay? So, belonging, being part of that tribe. People are profoundly tribal. From the time that we're born till the time that we are independent, which, as you know, takes many, 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 many years, especially those of us who've been parents. Yeah? Here's the thing. This is all part of our fabric. Between the age of 0 and 7, we are deeply coded in our family system as craving one of these. And we crave them all, but craving one of these primarily, and we will go through our entire life having our behaviors and our decisions driven and dominated by one of these three. You need to know, in the context of work, what your CEO is craving, because it's primal and it's subterranean, and they're not going to offer it up on a platter, okay? If they crave mattering, they're going to want appreciation, acknowledgement. They're always going to be out there trying to win awards, be seen, okay, as a valuable member of the tribe. But look at what's in the middle of it. If we matter and we want to matter, why? Because we want to matter to the tribe. Who's the tribe they want to matter to? If we aren't feeling safe, it's because we're not feeling safe within a tribe. Belonging is actually, I find, kind of beneath it all. So if somebody has the behavior of fight, flight, freeze, what are they craving, do you think? Safety, belonging, mattering?
Safety.
Safety, thank you. Us versus them, silos. Back to our friends with silos.
Belonging.
There's them, there's us. We are not in this together. We better create that experience. Victim, complaining, whining.
Mattering.
Nobody likes me. Nobody listens to my ideas. I have no power. I don't matter. Perpetually seeking recognition. Mattering as well. Okay. Combo pack. Combo pack. Procrastination. It's a combo. Safety and what else might be happening? Because what's the flip side of procrastination? Perfectionism. Perfectionism. And then we can get the action. If you look at Brené Brown's research, how weird is that? Perfectionism, procrastination, same thing. Below it, mattering, is it going to be good enough? Do I feel safe taking action? Okay, I want you to start to think about your CEO and your people. Here's some sample messaging. If your CEO is like, control freak, needing safety, here's the big picture cash flow analysis for three different scenarios, right? This is just like my mother. The plan, the backup plan, the backup plan to the backup plan. Once you know that somebody needs that, that's okay. Mommy got 3 dinner reservations, you know? So if you don't like that, we can go there. And if they don't have a good enough table, we can go there, okay? Oh, okay, good, now she can relax, all right? So, belonging. the team was really engaged about why. The ROI of your taking the time to have lunch with team members has been huge, and we can see the impact here. You know? Thanks for being such a great tribal leader. Oh, I feel so motivated by this blank, you know? Thank you for the opportunity to be part of this. Thanks for your thought leadership. Thanks for your thought leadership. Thanks for your insights. Hey, what do you think of such and such? I really appreciate you as a sounding board. Okay, start to think. Please tell me, your CEO alone in the dark, in the context of work, in the confidentiality zone we're in, what do they crave? Safety, raise your hand. Are they a safety craver? Okay, you know what you need to do. Belonging? Belonging, want to be part of the tribe, want to fit in, want to be valued, okay. Mattering, want to be appreciated, acknowledged, etc. Okay, and if it's mattering, want to be appreciated, acknowledged, etc. By whom? Who do they want to belong to? So they will, when they get that level of mattering, it's just like an outcome frame. When you have that level of mattering, what will you get? Oh, I will belong to and be appreciated by the financial community, by Wall Street, by whatever, okay? I want you to kind of start to really drop into this. So outcome frame, safety, belonging, mattering. Let's do a lab. List two people that you want to increase your influence with. What do they crave? Safety, belonging, mattering. This is our last lab. And then we're just going to do kind of wrap up informal Q&A off into the afternoon. Take a moment. Think about two key people. What do they crave and why? How do you know? What do they crave and why? How do you know? Pardon me? Ah, thank you. Okay. Safety, belonging, and mattering can be contextual. It can be contextual. In rolling out this new manufacturing, you know, line, what are they craving? You know, maybe they're really freaked out. It was a huge expense. You know, they really need safety. Okay. Being at this, coming up and speaking at this huge conference, you know, maybe they really crave mattering. You can figure out by using the outcome frame. If you're working with them and you're doing the outcome frame, listen very carefully. What would you like, you know, to blow the doors off this quarter, you know? How will you, the third one, how will you know when you have it? When I get the appreciation and acknowledgement of others, when we don't mess up the manufacturing launch. The first three, four questions will let you know if they're craving safety, belonging, and mattering. The outcome frame will help you see that. Another question that's even faster than the outcome frame, what are your top three priorities in regards to manufacturing launch? You're gonna hear safety, belonging, mattering. What are your top three? Hey, what are your top three priorities regarding the fill in the blank? You'll hear safety, belonging, mattering. Thank you, good, good, good. I want you to start to think now about how we're gonna apply this. When we part today, some of you I'll work with ongoing. Some of you, though, I'm not working with yet. And so you've got my card, so reach out if you've got questions. But I want you to start to like bring this down. So we leave today, you start using the outcome frame, you start looking at the tension triangle. Where is somebody, victim, rescuer, persecutor? I'm gonna use the outcome frame to shift them to, oh, I'm gonna send you two charts. I'm gonna send you two charts, which will help you very clearly figure out where somebody is. Okay, and then the audio from today. SMF. Okay, cool. Okay, just a couple of quick shares. Lillian, what do you have?
So I think the CEO of my company is really focused on building a great company, so I think mattering is really important to them.
Mm-hmm. Mattering, got it. How about a key stakeholder?
I was thinking about our sales ops person, and she's really process-oriented, so I think that's also mattering in terms of like getting everyone to row in the same direction.
Why does she want the processes? What will the processes give her? What experience will she get from the processes? Okay, let's do that again. If we can rely on the information in our systems, what might we want? Safety. I'm curious as to whether there's a safety need there. Rick Neely.
Yeah.
Yay! Woo! Woo, Rick! Okay. All right. Are you guys getting this? We've got like 3 more minutes. Questions? Okay, yay, strategic, all good. Okay, I want you to look back at the things that you wanted to change. Whoopsie. Look back at the things that you wanted to change the very first thing that we did. 3 things you want to change with the CEO, 3 things that you want to change at the company. What do you want to do here? Removing silos, what do we crave? If we want to remove silos, we need more what? Safety, monitoring, belonging.
Belonging.
Value, emotional engagement. What could we add there? What tool would we want to use? Valuing emotional engagement. Let me give you a short form. Write this down. Safety plus belonging plus mattering equals trust. Safety plus belonging plus mattering equals trust. If you're not sure what to bring somebody, bring them all. Bring them all, okay? If you're not sure what to bring somebody, lay it on, okay? Bring them all. How many of you guys are going to start to use safety, belonging, mattering, effective immediately? Yeah, listen to people at Starbucks. Listen to what they're asking for. It's fascinating. Okay, outcome frame. How many of you guys will commit to using the outcome frame within the next 3 days? Use it at home, doesn't matter, okay? Yeah, you're going to start to be blown away by how people experience you as helping them. Oh, wow, I've got to talk to you because you're the guy who always gives me these great ideas. You don't give him great ideas. You ask him the right questions. He then has great ideas, but he connects it with you. Okay? People craving safety, belonging, or mattering. You bring it. Wow, whenever I sit down with you, I feel better. Yeah. You are giving them what they crave. I want those forging to happen in their brain and to connect it to you. Okay? Good. So we stay in the smart state. We use the revenue inflection point chart that we talked about at the very beginning. I'll send it to you. I want you to look at it. Call me if you've got questions. We want to shift the CEO and others from that tension triangle, victim, rescuer, persecutor, to the positive alternative, the positive counterpart, using the bridge of the outcome frame. Okay? We also are seen as more strategic when we use the outcome frame. And then we bring safety, belonging, and mattering, especially when we're sponsoring change, but pretty much any other time as well, is super, super duper helpful. Okay? Yay. Here's how to reach me. One more question. Valky says, okay. One more question before we scooch. Are you guys okay? You guys are going to go off into the world. We're going to send you this stuff in a couple of days. You're good? You're good. Thank you for being so awesome, working so hard. Do you?